Father, I thank you for those who are here. God, I ask that we would, honestly, Father, we'd come before you and say, Father, please speak into our hearts tonight. God, by the work of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would just deliver this message. God, this would not be a word from man, but it would be a word from you. That God, it would be received in such a way, God, that we will respond to your word tonight. God, I'm asking that we would have eyes to see tonight, God. Father, we would have ears to hear from you. And God, our heart would be wide open, that we would respond to what you say, what you would have for us to hear tonight, God, that we would respond to it. Father, please, God, give me direction as I speak this message. God, give me the words to speak, God. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. It is absolutely true. And God, it will grow us and mature us and get us to a place in our lives to walk honorable before you in this dark world. And Jesus, help us to understand that we are the light to the world, God. That is our function, God, to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, if you could turn to Jeremiah 31, please. Kind of going to go off course just a touch, man. Come on, Jeremiah 31. I want you to hear this tonight, please. And the title of this message is In the World to Win the World. Okay, when you recognize that we are in this world on purpose to win the world, and when you come to a place to recognize that those who are saved, those who understand what it is to be born again, those who understand what it was, I was once lost, but now I am saved. I once, because of my sinful nature, was completely and totally separate from God, deserving of eternal damnation and death. Had it not been for my understanding of what Jesus has done for me, and my faith is in Christ on a cross, he died for me. God's wrath was poured out on his son, so it wouldn't ever have to be poured on me. Man, if you understand what Christ has done for you, and you come to a place where someone asks you, well, what's your faith? My faith is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came from heaven to earth, died in my place because of my sinful nature, because I was against God, or rebelled against God, or rejected God. Had it not been for Christ, I'd be in damnation of hell forever, rightfully deserving so because of my sinful nature. And then you recognize what Jesus did for you. And gang, there is a switch. There is a flip that takes place when you get that. Man, you hear so much. You hear so much about our dark world. Oh, the world's just going to hell in a handbasket. You just hear that over and over and over. And then, you know, this is from Christians, man. This is from the church. That they, I don't know if they come to a place, man, I hear it all the time, but they come to a place to think that they're going to hell in a handbasket because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. When you understand the world does what it is, the world is bad, and the world is a dark place, and every one of us were once a part of the world. It's incredible to me when you understand, man, I was once a part of the world. But I am no longer a part of it. But you're going to see tonight, Jesus Christ has sent you to it. There is a switch that takes place, that you have gone from being a part of the world to going and understanding it is my responsibility to win the world. Now you don't see it as so bad. You don't come to this place to boohoo and complain about how dark it's getting. You come to a place to say, man, God has called me in Matthew 5:14 to be the very light to that world, that dark world. We understand our heart is broken and we hurt for those who are lost. We hurt for the place that this world is in such a dark place. But man, that gives us great opportunity to understand what Jesus commanded us as he sent us into the world to be the very light that he's caused us to be to the dark world. And when you see that, gang, there's something that takes place. There's a transition that takes place in us. We don't see the world as such a horrible, dark place. We see the world as that which needs saved and that which needs to come to place that God can use me not to back out of the world. He never said to remove us from the world. Instead, he sent us in charging into the lost world. And when you see that, gang, things change. Everything changes. Man, there's a point in my life. And I believe that I was saved at a young age. I believe I came to know Christ. I lived in the most amazing godly home that loved Jesus, feared God. I mean, grandfather's a pastor. My grandmother was a traveling evangelist at like 9 years old in the 20s. I mean, there's just so much to my story of how God has brought me to where I'm at today. It's just an amazing heritage of what God has done. And I believe at a very young age, man, I came to understand, yes, I need Jesus. Jesus died. I've always been amazed that Jesus would die for me. Always. Even from a young age. No, man, Jesus on the cross. And there's certain times, man, that I can remember hearing exactly the cost for me and what Jesus did for me. And I just fell apart, man, amazed that he on a cross would do that for me. Who am I that at a young age being amazed at the work of the cross for me? Man, then you get into your own little walk and you get into my time of betrayal and my time of walking away, still understanding Jesus, still knowing that I really believe that I am saved, trying to win people. But yet, one foot in the world and one foot trying to win people again. You know how many people I won that way? None. Yet having a heart for people. Recognizing sin and salvation, recognizing hell and damnation, and understanding I have been saved, and walking at times in sin, and just coming to a place of being broken about it, but yet then to repeat. Okay, there was a point, 20, 21 years old, out of college now, ready to start my career. I came to a place to be completely broken before the Lord. Where again he reminded me of Jeremiah 31. Let's look at this, please. This is where he reminded me. This was a transition for me, folks. Yes, I believed I was saved. But if you can understand this, please. For me, there was a difference between saved and surrendered. Please hear this. If I were to die, yes, I believed I was going to heaven because of the blood of Christ, because I did repent, because I have confessed Christ as my Lord, and I recognize what he did for me. And man, I was in a place of sorrow when I did walk in sin. But man, there was a point where there was a complete different switch for me when I went from saved to a place of surrender. Totally different. You know, some people who just love to just hammer people over the head and say, well, if the Lord isn't Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Have you ever heard that one? And to a point, I think they miss something in between that. I think they miss the grace part. They miss the part where if he's not Lord of everything in your life, then he's not Lord at all in your life. And they forget that we need to mature and grow as Christians. They forget at times that we do stumble and fall. They forget that there's times that we are not yet going to be perfect until we go home. And they forget at times they just come and hammer it, hammer and hammer it. That they forget at times that there is a maturing and there is a growing process and there is God continuing to chase us and we're walking in understanding of the scripture. And man, I tell you what, when I hear that, my heart kind of like, okay, you're missing something in the middle there, because there was a season in my life that there was a point in the middle there that yes, he was Lord of my life, but he wasn't Lord of everything, but that certainly didn't make him Lord of nothing. Man, but when that happened, gang, honestly, and it was a moment, man, when I understood, God, you have been so patient with me. Listen, I had no excuse. I had no excuse to rebel. I had no excuse to walk in sin. None. It's not like, oh, well, he just got sin. No, I lived in a home that was absolutely a fear of God and a love for Jesus. I lived in a home that understood relationship with God, understood Christ on a cross, giving my life to him at a young age, knowing walking down the aisle, knowing what it was to even try to win people for Jesus, living in that lifestyle. And yet, in all of that, walking in a place of rebellion. And the thing, gang, of that switch that took place for me, from going from that place of knowing that I am saved to going to that place of complete and total surrender was this right here. And I saw this, and I remember being on my living room floor, just absolutely broken before the Lord. An amazement that he is so patient with me. God, how is it that me knowing right and wrong, and me knowing who you are, and me knowing your love for me, and me knowing in the home that I grew up in that, God, you were long-suffering for me. And listen, I wasn't some teenage werewolf. It was nothing like that. It was just some stupid rebellion, knowing that I was not walking right with God. And that was this right here. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, and the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Think about this. From a point of being saved to beginning to cross this bridge to a point of being completely and totally surrendered. And this just broke me. He says, Sean, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And I saw, man, I understood. Jesus on a cross. Jesus being beaten. Jesus being battered. Jesus unrecognizable as a human being. Jesus Christ, who is the one true Son of God, who would willingly, on purpose, put himself on a cross for me and my sin, that I don't have to walk in shame or guilt anymore, to recognize all the hurt that Jesus took so that I could be free. Says, my love for you, demonstrated on a cross, has drawn you to me. Gang, when you see that picture, when you really know that God's love is demonstrated for you on a cross through Jesus Christ, man, that just brings us close to him. Look at this. I have loved you with an everlasting. Sean, I have loved you. Sean, you I have loved with a love that lasts forever. You cannot outrun my love, Sean. There's nowhere you can go that I'm not coming, because my love for you. And in that, you have been drawn, where? Back to him because of what? His loving kindness for me. Amazed that he is so patient with me. Not having any idea the plan that he has for me. Gang, I'm just a cop. Going into being a full-time police officer, that was it. And then there's a breaking point for me to go from that place of being saved. Amazed this patience and his long suffering with me. Amazed that he loved me with such a love that he would chase me down to a place of surrender. I tell you what, in this moment, folks, everything changed. On my living room floor, everything changed. He says this, again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. I said, God, you can use me. I've had 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I've walked this silly line on this fence. I've walked with terrible influence in my life, God. Nobody, none of my friends walked holy and worth you. None of them even knew you, God. And you're going to rebuild me to a place to love you? Dang, that was a breaking point for me. Well, I'm telling you, from then on, everything changed. Persons, places, and things, everything changed for me. People in my life changed. Places I would go changed. The things in my life, financial, complete and total change. It was now a serious point of surrender. Say, God, I'm all in. And I came to this point to want to win the world. There was a switch that took place in me that wanted to win the world. I recognized, God, I'm not called to get out of the world. God, you've called me and sent me to the world in order to win the lost and the hurting and the broken. God, to win those young people who will walk in a place of horrible influence. God, recognizing that, God, the enemy will lie and will use people of the world to rip people of faith out when they don't understand I'm not longer a part of this world, but I'm only in this world to win. Therefore, from that moment on, gang, any relationship I had was for the purpose to win that relationship to Christ. Everything changed. I didn't get the calls to go out drinking. Didn't get the calls from the buddies anymore. They would try, and I'd, listen, that's just not me, dude. I'm not. Yeah, but what about you? Remember, dude, not me. Being a police officer, always being asked to go out with the guys, dude, it's just not me. Walked in a completely, totally different line. Because my life now was so much so that, God, I want to be one to be an ambassador for you, to win these people to you. Everything changed. Because God says, Sean, I love you. My love for you will never change. It'll be an everlasting love. And Sean, I've drawn you with my loving kindness. And Sean, again, I will build you up. And you will be rebuilt. Gang, that's powerful. Powerful. Come on, John 17, please. Man, we're going to see this in what Christ has said. And Jesus is crying out to the Father. And Jesus is praying. And this is the eve of his crucifixion, man. He's about out. And he's crying out to God the Father for me and for you and for the church. And amazing, in John 17, verse 13, it says this, "But now I come to you." This is Christ coming to God. "And these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy full in themselves. Look at this. Even in the midst of the world, we recognize that Jesus Christ said they are to have my joy while they function in this world. Isn't that an awesome promise? That Jesus said, God, even when they're in this world, functioning in this world, God, they would have joy. Amen. Okay, we're not to be the ones who are just constantly getting beat over and constantly walking with our heads down and constantly, oh, the world is such a dark place. Oh, what's going to... We're supposed to walk in a place to recognize that Jesus cried out to the Father on the eve of his crucifixion that, God, they're going to be in the world, even in the world, even in the darkness, God, that they would have my joy. That's powerful, folks. And we look at this. Look what he says, verse 14. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Please hear that. Jesus just made a powerful statement. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now look at this. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Please hear the heart of our King, the heart of our Savior, the one of our Lord, where he's saying, God, they're not of this world, but I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. And when you begin to understand, okay, what is the world? When you understand that God says, you are not of this world. And we're thinking, well, we live in the world. What are you talking about? I breathe the air that you've given me, the oxygen level. I get it, man. I'm here, man. I believe that I'm walking on the earth, man. I'm in the world. He's saying, you are not of the world. Let me tell you what the world is Bible-wise. Look at this. 1 John chapter 5 says this. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies, what? In the power of the evil one. When he's talking about the world here, he's talking about darkness. He's talking about sin. He's talking about a world that is a very dark place. The world that is under the realm of the enemy. That's Satan, the evil one. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians is supposed to be 4:4, but this is what it says. In whose case the God of this world, the God of this world, look at this, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When you understand, when Jesus is saying, you are not of this world, that means we are not under the power and we are not under the authority of the one who actually has the spirit of this world. Listen, Ephesians 2:2 says that he is the prince and power of the air. Listen, when you talk about the dark realm and you look at all the damaging things of the world and you look at how dark the world has become, that is because that influence is under the power of the enemy. And that's Satan. And when you begin to understand this and you can unfold this and look at this, there are only two teams, folks. There are only two fathers. One is God and one is Satan. And when you look at this, everybody falls under one of the two. And you see how dark the world has become. And Jesus says, you are not of that world. When you've come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior, you can look at the world very much different and say, that's no longer me. I'm not a part. Jesus, my King, said, I'm no longer a part of that world. That's not my world. I'm not under that darkness. I'm not under that damnation. Satan is not my father anymore. I have been transferred out of that darkness into his marvelous light. And you come to a place that you begin to understand and you begin to realize just the very kingdom that you belong to is not the worldly kingdom. You look at this. I want you to see the next verse. 1 John 2:15-16. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. Who's in charge of the world? Prince of power of the air. Who's in charge of the world? The God of this world. Who is it? It's the evil one. And when you understand that, look what he says. This is to you and I. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, not from the Father, but it's from the world. James 4:4, you adulteresses. This is talking about a spiritual faithfulness. Those who have been an adulterer according to their faithfulness spiritually. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I mean, these are strong words. Look at the strong words here.
You adulteresses, those who have been unfaithful spiritually. Look what it says. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Look at this battle, man. Look at this war that's taking place. And Jesus says, you are not of the world. You're different. You've been taken out of that. But then he says, I'm sending you back in. It's amazing. Why? Because we have to understand, man, there's a serious battle. There's a very serious war between the world and God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world, whoever wishes, gang, that's a choice, to be a friend of the world, makes himself an enemy of God. Look at John 17. Again, verse 15. I don't ask you to take him out of the world, but to keep him from the evil one. What a powerful prayer. When our eyes are open to the truth of the darkness of this world, and we really come to an understanding that there really are only two teams. There's only two sides, the sheep and the goats. There's heaven and there's hell, there's God and there's Satan, and that's it. There's no other games to be played, man. There's no middle ground, that's it. And then you see these amazing prayer that Jesus is crying out to the Father for you and me. God, I don't ask you. Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now look at this. Verse 17, sanctify. That means set them apart with the truth, for your word is truth. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Gang, look at this. We are not of the world, but we're in the world for the purpose to be sent into the world so that we may win the world. That you and I have called to be a light to the world, a light to the darkness, a light to those who are in a place of damnation because their father is the enemy. And when you come to understand this, man, there's a switch that takes place. There's a recognition in our lives to say, no longer am I a part of this world, but I'm not to back up. I'm not to retreat. I'm not to be all nervous about the darkness of the world. No, this is the very reason. Isn't it amazing to me that when I came to that place of absolute complete surrender, or I came to that place to give my life to Christ, that he didn't just take me up to heaven right then. Good, you see, your eyes are open, your heart's ready, boom, time to come home. But you want the absolute biggest definition of purpose for you as a believer. Is that while you and I are still left here in this world, that we're not to function as a place of being a part of it. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to be a part of it. But we are called to be sent to it. When you understand that purpose, you understand what Jesus is saying here, folks, everything changes. Person, places, and things change. You no longer hang out with your acquaintances just to be friends with them, but the whole purpose of you being with them is to win them. The places you go are to be not because you're a part of the world, but you are trying to win. Every time you go to Tim Hortons, are you putting an example of Christ? Gang, I take it serious, man. I should have stock in Tim Hortons. I love coffee. Maybe a little much, but I do. I love coffee. And man, those at the counter, man, they know me by name. And I talk to them and I encourage them. We've had them actually come to church and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ only because I love coffee. But I use that no longer just to be a part of loving coffee. But God, I want to win this person before me. Everywhere we go, God, are you understanding what it is that on the sidewalk, in the grocery store, in the mall, whether at your workplace or in your home, everything ought to change. Man, our marriage, we set up, Renee and I, in our marriage, that we want to be a light to the lost. We want to walk in our marriage and say, God, I see in Scripture in Ephesians 5 that you say marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. My home is set up in a place that when people see Renee and I, you know what I want them to see is a picture of Christ and the church and what people can have with Christ because we have such a great marriage. That drives us, folks, not to be a part of this world, but we're in this world and in the command that Jesus has given us in marriage. Man, we want us in our... This is from day one of our marriage that we've always wanted to be a light to the world. What you can have in Jesus Christ. Gang, everything changes. financially. It's no longer, well, I just have to give. Man, it was, I can't wait to give. God, I can't wait to advance your kingdom. God, I can't wait to come to the local church and see God lives being changed and move. God, see marriages coming to see God, the people who are hurting and broken and lost, coming to a place to receive and understand Jesus Christ as Lord over and over and over at the local church. Everything changed, folks. Person, places, and things changed because we came to understand no longer a part of this world. No longer to be like the world. But I see Jesus Christ hasn't removed us, but he has sent us. So you see this big picture of the domain of darkness over the world, the prince and power of the air that really runs things. And man, then you get to understand that Jesus, you have called me and you have sent me to be a light to the lost, to the hurting, and to the broken, that they would have an understanding that you love them as much as you love me. And Jesus, you died for them as much as you died for me. And when you can look, man, I do this all the time. I just drive past people and I just look. And I know, man, I know according to truth. God, either that person knows you or they don't. God, that person, have they had that opportunity? I mean, I'm talking about people on the sidewalk, people that I even have arrested, people that I see over and over. God, it's either one or the other, God. I mean, when you know that biblical truth, there is something that just flips in you, man. There's something that changes in you that says, God, I am here to win that person. God, I'm here to do everything I can to not be like them, but to win them, to love them, to care for them, to have compassion for them, just as you did, Jesus, and to win them to you. Gang, when you understand that, seriousness of what Jesus says here in verse 18, just as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. That's amazing. See, Luke 5 says this. This is Jesus. He's functioning. He's in the middle of his ministry, and the Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And I love this. They were talking to his disciples. And then Jesus steps in. And Jesus answered. Listen. James, Peter, listen, Peter especially. Peter, shut up. I'll answer this for you. I know sometimes how you lose your mouth. Peter, let me answer. I mean, I could imagine Jesus saying, listen, you see, the Pharisees and the scribes began grumbling. They're complaining. And they addressed the disciples. Here they're talking to the disciples, looking for an answer from the disciples. Who steps forward? Jesus. And he says this. It is not those who are well who need a physician, but to those who are sick. Why is that doctor always around sick people? What is wrong with him? Why is Jesus always around the sinners? Because it's them who need saved. And when you get that picture, folks, Jesus came into this world not to be a part of the world, not to belly up with everyone else, not to hold hands with everybody and be best friends, and not to be like the world. He came into this world so that he may win the world. And over you see through the Gospels where the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and the high priests and the chief, they would go after Jesus. Why are you with them? Why are you with this one? Why are you with... And Jesus would simply come back to a place, say, man, it's not the well people who need a physician. It's those who are sick. And Jesus made it very clear. And everything that he did, it was for the purpose of winning those that he was around. Can you understand that? As Jesus being the great example. And again, he says it, man, just as you sent me, I send them. You want the greatest purpose. When you come to that place of salvation and that place of surrender, is that you and I have been sent by our King to the world. Come on, turn to Acts 26, please. I want to show you where Paul understood this. There's a moment here where we see he starts out as Saul. He starts out as persecuting the church and
going after those who have professed Christ. He goes after those who have called on Jesus' name. He goes after those who have been witness to Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. He goes after those who have professed Christ. And he goes, I love it because it happens in Acts 9, and Acts 22, and then Acts 26. He repeats his story. He tells his story again and again. And we look at this in verse 9. He says this. So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast a vote against them. As I punished them, often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to the foreign cities. Now look at this. That was who Saul was. He was well educated. Listen, he was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. He had one of the highest positions from declaration from the chief priest, from the high priest to go persecute the church. He actually believed he was doing God's service. That's where he was. He thought he was honoring God. And then it happened. Look at this. While so engaged, I was so journeying to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priest. I love this. At midday, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. Now look at this, midday, it's about noon, the brightest hour, and yet it got brighter. Gang, you could get the most high-powered flashlight or high-powered light and put it on at noon, and people, you wouldn't really know that it's on. But here at noonday, there was this bright light that shone all around him. Now look at this, verse 14. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. Now look at this. Please see this, folks. Here you've got Saul, one of the biggest persecutors of the church, would rip families apart, take people right out of church, right out of the synagogue, would stand by as they were being murdered, ripping husbands and wives and children away from one another, coming to a place that in other parts of Scripture says that he would beat them and persecute them and try to get them to blaspheme, say that they're not Christians, and go over and over and over and over. And then it happened where Jesus showed up. It comes to this point. Get up, verse 16. Stand on your feet. For this purpose, I've appeared to you. To appoint you, highlight that. To appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you. Verse 17, rescuing you. For this person I've appointed you. For this purpose I am rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. I've appointed you, I've rescued you, and I'm sending you. Where? Into the world. Verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That's what Jesus said. You look at the very purpose that he called Paul out of. He says, I've appointed you. I have rescued you. It's amazing because sometimes when we have been rescued, we want to just keep running. Think about this. When you have been rescued from the enemy, you think that you want to run as far away from the enemy's camp as possible. But you look at this through spiritual eyes. He says, I have rescued you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you right back in. Do you recognize that Jesus Christ has rescued you and I? The greatest rescue mission of all from the world, from sin, from damnation, from hell. Instead of removing us from all of that, he says, now that your eyes have been opened, what I've done for you, I'm sending you right back in. That's amazing. For what purpose? To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, the inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Gang, let's just bow our heads, please. I just, there's more, but we just need to stop there because I just want to, I want you to understand, where are you tonight? Come on, honestly, where are you tonight? Are you still a part of the world? Are you still functioning from a place of recognizing that you function under the realm of the prince and power of this air? You are functioning from a place underneath the evil one? Or have you come to a place to understand and recognize all that Jesus Christ has done for you, and that switch must take place? I recognize that I am no longer a part or like the world, but Jesus Christ has sent me to the world in order to win the world. When you understand that, everything changes. When you get to that point, say, my function, my purpose, being in this world, my purpose is to win the world. And that command comes from my King. God, I'm not asking you to take him out of the world. Just as you have sent me to the world, I'm asking that you send them. Isn't that amazing? So you're at a place tonight where you still function, one foot in, one foot out. You still function of, part of you is still a part of the world. Yet you know, man, you know that God is tugging at you. You know that his love is drawing you to him. And one of the greatest, most powerful tools in the enemy's belt is influence of people. If you're a teenager, if you're a young person, or if you're an adult, the enemy would love for you to be tangled up with those who don't know Jesus and walk in a way that they would walk and have them pull you away. Please hear this. Please hear this. The way to battle that is to look at them and say, man, my only reason of being around this is that you would come to know Christ. That's it. That I would walk in such a way that I am set apart, that I am different. I'd walk in such a way that my life is not like yours. Not in a boastful way, not in an arrogant way, in a way that's saying, man, you need Christ. Jesus has done a work in my life. Gang, young people, teenagers, is that you? Who's drawn who to who? That's a serious question. Teenagers, who's drawn who to who? Is the enemy using the influence of those who are part of his kingdom to draw you away? Is your whole purpose such as Jesus? The whole purpose is to win them to Christ. When they're making decisions that are ungodly, you say, you know what, that's not me, I'm not going. So honestly, man, how do you respond to this tonight? You come to a place where you know that you're saved. You know that you've confessed Christ as Lord. You know that, man, if you die, I know I'm going to heaven. Man, I know what Jesus did for me. And man, when I do walk in sin, man, there is this repentance there. But I'm not at that place of being totally surrendered. And I see in Scripture where that's just a moment, folks. Paul says, and then it happened. From that moment at midday, please hear it. From that moment at midday, he was never the same again. Have you had that moment that you're never the same again? You look at people differently. You look at your purpose of work differently. You look at your marriage differently. You look at your children differently. You look at your purpose of getting coffee differently. Because you want that person to know Christ as you know Christ. That you no longer fear the condition of the world. That you no longer walk in fear of how bad the world gets. The world does what the world is. The world is under the influence of the greatest deceiver of all, the power of the enemy. Please know that. The world is what it does, man. That's what it does. So that's what it is. You and I are not to fear that. Man, that should charge us up to come to a place and say, God, you've not called us to retreat. You've not called us to back up.
God, you've called us to charge. You've sent us into that dying world so that we may win them, that you've called us to be the light to the world, to that dark place. God, you've called us to be light. Gang, that's a charge from our King. Are you there tonight? Man, as Brennan just closes in a song, man, I'm asking that you make decisions tonight. This is between you and God tonight. You and Him. That you tonight would say, you have loved me with an everlasting love, God. God, I cannot outrun your love for me. I know that, God, that you have loved me with an everlasting love. And in that love, God, you've drawn me back to you. And tonight, God, you will rebuild me. And again, I shall be rebuilt. And God, tonight I understand that you've sent me to the world, to win the world. No more retreat. No more retreat. This is a charge. Send me. Send me. Folks, that's not to Africa. That's not to India. That's to your local grocery store. That's to your home. That's to your neighbor. That's to your workplace. Send me. Come on, stand to our feet, please.